Great Base Tennis Podcast, number 99, Wayne Gretzky. I'm Steve Smith, along with Dr. Malhar Patel, student assistant, goal-oriented player, helping us out. We're on the fly. We're going to talk about today, requested topic, routines. I think it's appropriate, it's 99, to do routines as well, because obviously Gretzky, anybody becomes great. We don't really believe in the GOAT, the greatest of all time, but Gretzky, definitely great, 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 the great one. I'm going to start off with some quotes, something some people may not even know who Wayne Gretzky is. But as I do that, Dr. Patel, if you'd be writing down routines. So we'll start with some Wayne Gretzky quotes. The day I stop giving is the day I stop receiving. In tennis, I should say in a hockey, you get 1 point for a goal, 1 point for an assist. And Gretzky had not only more goals, more assists. The day I stop learning is the day I stop growing. Gretzky, this applies to tennis. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. He's also said it this way. I missed 100% of the shots I didn't take. Just think about how many junior tennis players miss 100% of the overheads that they don't take. Did you smile on that one, Miller? I'm a funny guy. Yeah. Procrastination. Don't put the pro in procrastination. Here's what he said, Gretzky, about procrastination. It's one of the most common and deadliest diseases, and its toll on success and happiness is heavy. Gretzky again. You'll never hear me bragging about goals, but I'll talk about assists all day. Number seven, no matter what, we are creatures of habit, and the better your habits, the better you'll be under pressure. It wasn't God-given talent. I earned Wally-given talent. That's a great one. Wally, Walter Gretzky's father. We'll talk about his father. When it comes to routines, I wasn't given God-given talent. I earned Wally-given talent. The highest compliment that you can give me is to say that I work hard and I never dog it. Coaches used to say, or players used to say, I'm in the doghouse, but just stop and look around. Here in America, for example, how are we treating dogs? I don't think there's such a thing anymore as a doghouse. Dogs used to sleep outside. Maybe it wasn't talent the Lord gave me. Maybe it was passion. The passion quotient. How much do you love it? Gretzky 11. I couldn't beat people with my size. I couldn't beat people with my strength. I didn't have a hard shot. I'm not the quickest skater. My eyes and my mind had to do most of the work. I have been given a few nicknames. Vic Braden, I was flattered. He used to call me the observer's observer. Look around. Check things out. Do you have any idea what's going on around you? Number 12. If you surround yourself with quality people, the sky is the limit. I heard one brother tell his little brother, you need new friends. You got to hang around with winners. Number 13. It's much easier to lose than it is to win. Much easier to lose. 14, I knew at a young age, whether I was playing baseball or hockey or lacrosse, that my teammates are counting on me. That's very important for tennis people to hear because tennis kids grow up and they don't learn to be on a team. Mickey Mantle's tombstone. I was a great teammate. A routine, something you just do over and over again. Practice routines. We'll go more on Gretzky. Give me one. Give me a practice routine, Dr. Malhar.
Hitting off the cone.
Own the cone. That's, people come and work with us and we film and then we say, okay, we're going to shadow swing without a ball and then we're going to set a ball on a cone. And they look at us, tell little kids, and they're okay with it. Hit the cherry off the ice cream cone. The cone, the pylon is orange. Just hit yellow. The kids become indignant. They think they're too good. And they stop doing it, like Dr. Patel over here, Smile Patel. For 15 years, I taught tennis, and right next to where we taught was where the Yankees played spring baseball. And you see these top baseball players have a ball sit on a tee, and they have a swing coach. I think of watching Derek Jeter, and the coach is talking to him, and this is how he has to do it. They go through the routines over and over again. for best results on a cone is have a kid say, okay, do 40 jumps. Try to teach them to do double jumps, a skip rope. Do 40 jumps and then do just four off the cone. Trace the swing. When you shadow swing, it's more abstract. But when you hit off a tee or a cone, it's more concrete. With Gretzky, online, there's a video. He's 2 years old. His grandmother's on the couch, and he's playing floor hockey. So start early. It's unfortunate that we have kids come to us when they're, say, 15 years old. And, I mean, we just made a post video for a young boy and young man. And it's amazing how much he's improved. He's only here 2 weeks. The operation was a success, but the patient may die. Is he going to go home and hit off the cone, own the cone? Gretzky started to skate on a frozen river near Brantford, Ontario, where he's from. And he wouldn't come off the ice. So then his father, Wally, built what they called Wally's Coliseum, backyard. And just he knew how to have the best ice. He used a sprinkler, like when someone sprinkles their yard. But he had cones. He had floodlight. And here Gretzky, he skated before school, and he would skate after school. And they had over and over again, and drills around the cones. Give me another routine.
Throwing a sock.
Baseball weighs 6 ounces, a little less than 6 ounces, I understand. I fact checker, maybe it's over 6 ounces. Baseball is heavier than a tennis ball. Baseball hit you in the back. So you take three tennis balls, you put them in a tube sock, a long sock. And when the palm is down, all the energy has to go up. But if you have palm up, the balls will come back and hit you. And there's so many exercises you can do with a sock. I ask kids all the time, you have a sock in your shoulder bag? No. They don't do routines. Now, we have so many routines. Gretzky was born in 61. The Russians came to North America and really impressed everyone how well they played against the NHL All-Stars, 1972. So his father studied what the Russians were doing, and he just took those drills and went into the backyard. He saw this online. He skated alone for hours. There was a time where they forgot to bring him in. It was almost midnight. He was a little kid. He's still out there skating. Passion. You got to be able to do something over and over again. It's just amazing to me that kids don't even think about hitting on a backboard anymore. Give me another routine.
Hanging a string on the ceiling and hitting your serve.
To our program, to the nth degree, how you work on the serve is you write down the word picture method. It comes from Don Leary. We have our own images, but he wrote the book, The Teaching Pro. And you put up mirrors, hang a string from the ceiling. You have a piece of string come down to the highest point of reach with your outstretched arm and racket. And you don't have to have Velcro and a tennis ball. You just put a piece of tape, and then with that, it's right at your contact point, mirrors, tripod, camera, practice log, and then you do it. And you have to commit, okay, I'm going to do this routine. I'm going to do it twice a day. I'm going to do it once a day. The routines really start with us, make your bed. That's famous speech. And then now it's, I'll just speak a little louder, maybe some background noise. There's the commencement speech, the admiral from the Navy, sense of accomplishment, begin your day by doing something. We tell people 50-50. What's that, Malhar?
Every morning before you go and use the restroom, you want to do 50 push-ups, 50 sit-ups.
You can make it 5 and 5. It could be 10 push-ups, 10 squat thrusts. But then you need to be the hero and don't be the zero. Have a piece of paper where you just checked off that you did it. At the end of the day, that monitoring chart. Gretzky played baseball. He didn't just play one sport. Not being a wealthy kid, he didn't play hockey in the summer. Hockey's over, he played baseball. Loved baseball. And so that off season, the rest, the change, the diversion, the book range, we talked about that. You're better off to be the generalist than the specialist. We talk about a routine is just take a ball, hang onto it this way, throw it against the wall. Can you actually throw and catch? You know, years ago, kids had to make, they had to use their imagination. You think about driving through the neighborhood and kids, a baseball player, kid might, rainy day, might be just taking the ball and just throwing it into his glove like this over and over and over again. But he'd throw the ball up on the garage, it would roll down, and he's playing catch, solo drill. Give me another routine.
The power line against defense.
So that's where you study our content. You know the power line, 45 degrees angle leaning in. And people, we say, do you have a wall at your house? Is there a wall in your garage? Is there a wall in your basement? And again, mirrors, but to actually go through to practice the routine over and over and over again, just because one understands it intellectually, and you have to do it, it's making it instinctual. I think of Dr. Mayer, Dr. Alex Mayer, Gene and Sandy in New Jersey, became top 10 players in the world. Their father built a contraption on top of the garage. When the kids would hit, they wouldn't be hitting horizontally against the garage door. They would hit up, the ball would go into a mesh, a net, and it would roll down the garage roof and they would hit back up. And then if you're doing that over and over again, that becomes a routine. Give me another one.
The wall cleansing drills.
So we have people who say, do the wall drills from a technical standpoint. You just put the racket right against the wall, you turn, and your palm's going to be vertical. The racket head is an extension of your palm, palm guidance, and you just push your hand forward, and that's how you go through a volley. You know, especially young kids, the great base, start with solid fundamentals. Then on the wall, there's so many wall exercises. You go through our online content, you'll see all this. Just trace your swing against the wall. Let your racket stay right in the wall. Vic Braden's book, Tennis Teaching, Teaching Children the Vic Braden Way, keeping the racket right on the wall. Give me another routine.
The body balance positions.
Yeah, to actually stand in front of the mirror and repeat that. You know, I'd have a place, okay, I'm going to do this body balance position. We tell people, find someone in your neighborhood, teach them. The highest form of retention for learning is to teach. But know the body balance position. I think it's a shame that our governing body of tennis doesn't honor the success of Welby Van Horn and go, how did he do it? And someone like Manny Diaz, who was on the best system for teaching beginners, an organized plan. But, you know, one thing back to Gretzky, he played lacrosse. Played box lacrosse. When you hear people saying they played box lacrosse, lacrosse was started by the Iroquois Indians in the area where I grew up in upstate New York. Box lacrosse, there's no ice in the summer, so they played lacrosse on a hockey rink. Less money spent. That's interesting. Jack Kramer was asked by the French Tennis Federation years ago, we spend more money than anyone. Why aren't we developing players? And Kramer said, the answer to your question is the question. You're spending too much money. And we did a better job in America where kids just took a private lesson. But you think about lacrosse, and Gretzky, ice hockey people would know this, he really could avoid the check. Small guy, you know, he's 6 feet tall. In the world of giants, he's a small guy. But he could avoid the check. He could do the spinorama. You can see how what he learned from lacrosse. Give me another routine.
The jump rope routine.
Comes from boxing. Kramer said, hey, I can compete with anybody if I skip rope hard for 3 minutes, rest for a minute. We tell people minimum of 3 rounds. So 3 times 3, 9 minutes. You're really done in 11, but say, okay, it's a 12-minute routine. We tell people, why don't you shadow swing, say your weakest shot or your serve in between. And then if you could check that off. Now, I've known Malheur 5 years. I'd love to have it, say, on his sleeve. What percent of the time, of the days that I've known him, has he done that skip rope routine? If you can't skip rope, you can't play tennis. Jeff Foxworthy, the comedian, you know you're redneck if. I wrote an article. You know you're not a tennis player if. So pretty much the same theme. If you can't skip rope, you're not a tennis player. So all sorts of routines. Can you do double jumps? Give me another routine.
The 72 serves.
Okay, so There's routines that are solo routines, partner routines, you know, routines that you can do at home. Say we say driveway, where it's dynamic balance, the garage where static balance, standing one place. Stan Smith, three places on the baseline, singles, three in the deuce court, three positions. And they're very, very close together, maybe a racket length apart. And then you have three serves, the flat, the slice, the top. Then you have four targets. So 3 times 3 is 9, times 4 is 36. Then you have ad court, so you double it, that's 72. So people come to see us and go, do you actually go out and do that drill? And the way the brain works is, you know, okay, I got to spend some time on, you know, I'm hitting, say, as a righty, I'm hitting a slice serve out wide, or I'm hitting a slice serve into the body. Gretzky, track. He ran track. Multiple sports. All sorts of routines when it comes to the word running. Do you have a running program? There is a film. Gretzky's a pretty humble guy. He also said that he jumped the gun. But he's racing against Borg and others in a show called The Superstars. And it's like, the boy could run. Give me another routine.
Throwing rackets.
Maureen Connolly. Saw that in the film. Probably, I would say weak word, probably the first film I ever saw where her first coach just had her throwing rackets. The serve is very close to a throwing motion. Go to a garage sale, buy an old racket, throw the racket, and we teach running technique and go in your backyard, sprint after the racket, throw it again, sprint after the racket. You could do fartlek running. So just versions of it. You know, you don't throw the racket that far, a young kid, but you're going to skip step, high knees, over under. And just so you're combining, you know, working on footwork exercises plus throwing the racket. It's best if you can say, hey, okay, I've got five rackets. Go throw five old rackets. Everybody can find old rackets. Gretzky at the age of 6, he played with 10-year-olds. He scored one goal on the same team. He was playing against 10-year-olds. Same team 4 years later, he scored 378 goals. That's 10-minute period running time. With Kobe Bryant, I believe, my fact checker will let me know, that the first year he played on a team, he didn't score a point. Kobe Bryant, like Gretzky, routines. Give me another routine.
Oh, the Vandermeer.
Oh, so we have a drill. We call it Dennis Vandermeer, what a tennis genius. You actually follow through behind your back. It's going to really help people have a palm down motion. Swing left to right. You swing away from your target because you have a continental grip. We have a film that people request of a young 8-year-old going through all these different exercises. So it's very good to give the exercise or the routine a name. It's very much like going into a gym. You know, like a lot of kids will go to a backboard and will say, hey, you know, you're just mindlessly hitting the backboard. Sometimes that's good. We tell people, hey, if you do want to play hit against backboard with a headset on, you know, for the entire song, hit underspin backhands. But we film, for the most part, we film 8 strokes. So I go to the backboard, hit 10 forehand volleys, and then hit 10 forehand ground strokes. So there's 8 exercises. And then you go around the cycle, you're going to do 80 hits. So you just like, okay, 10 overheads, 10 serves. Then how many sets, how many balls are you hitting? Setting up your garage, those portable backboards, and now there's like 7 or 8 different versions of those. We brought one back. There was a tennis mate in the 80s, and people stopped. The people in North Carolina stopped producing it. And people get those, and they don't use them. You can hit 40 balls in a minute. Make it a routine. I mean, you're doing it over and over again. It's a routine to make your bed. It's a routine not to make your bed, too. Gretzky always wanted to be good. You know, I've got, there's so many different, and again, the internet, I tell people you could put me in jail, put me in solitary confinement, just give me YouTube. Pete Maravich, tennis players should go watch Pete Maravich and all the routines he had and why he was such a magician with the basketball. And you think about Steph Curry, that didn't happen by accident that he could throw a bat, he can shoot a basketball that way. It's just born from practice, practice and practice and practice. And you got to love it. You got to love all the routines. Embrace the boredom, Tom Brady. Suck it up. All right, go ahead. Give me another routine.
Oh, the serve progressions where you first throw it, then you throw and catch, then you throw and hit with the ball.
So you need to know the body balance position for the serve. Are you going to coil from the knees, from the ground up, the knees, the hips, the shoulders? And, you know, we always tell people how to hang on to a ball. Just turn, give yourself a lesson. Watch how that palm is down. You bend your arm, the comb the hair position, all the word picture method. But you throw a ball. And again, just to have a kid throw and catch. And it's not beating up kids, but today, and it's because of the cell phones, kids can't throw and catch. They don't play outside. But so with that, we have people throw the ball. And with Cole Reeves, I like his idea about throwing a long ball. How far can you throw the ball? You know, we play baseball, tennis. Okay, that to me is a drill. Is okay. We're doing this at practice, but a drill. What do you do at home? What do you do on your own? Not to differentiate. I mean, but that's how I look at it. What are you doing on your own? That's so important. We tell people just turn, toss, and throw. Can you actually keep a ball in your tossing hand and then hit it? You throw the ball low and out to the right if you're right-handed, left to left-handed. And then so you've tossed the ball, you hang on to the ball, and you don't release it, but you have a throwing motion. And just to do that over and over again. And then to be clever and say, hey, I'm doing it at home. I'm watching a ball game and the shadow swing on the serve, or I'm doing these drills with a roll up two balls of socks. Go ahead, another routine.
Looking at content.
Okay, so we tell people they're part-time in our program. We have Facebook. I know a lot of parents don't want their kids to be on social media. But we put up a Facebook post. You know, just take a minute to read it and just make it your duty. But if it's a burden, then you really don't have the passion. Coming back to Gretzky. Gretzky, you know, I am amazed that people don't watch tennis on TV. Okay, think of this next, Mallard. When I say TV and clipboard, you're at home watching a match. But Gretzky, it's a famous story. He was 7 years old. He gets in front of the TV, takes a piece of paper, draws the size of the rink. And he just takes a pencil and he's watching Hockey Night Canada every Saturday night. Passion, kids are going to watch. You definitely are going to watch pro hockey. Now, it's amazing to me where tennis kids don't watch. Tell me, what should kids do as a routine at their house? Clipboard?
If you're watching a match on the TV, you should have a clipboard next to you, and you can chart the match. You can see, you can chart all the points, forehand. If they miss a forehand ground stroke, and you can just chart the match like that. 10 points on. Here.
Number 99, when he retired, every team in the NHL, throughout the league, the 99 was retired. Gretzky was so good in hockey his first year in the NHL, he was the MVP. He had his critics, people who were saying when he was 17 that he's not going to make it in the NHL. Gretzky tennis, actually, one of his children, one of his daughters, played tennis, maybe still plays. Actually, she was working. She was at Jimmy Johnson, one of our former students at his academy out in Southern California. And I said, Jimmy, I speak both hockey and tennis. You should have sent Gretzky to me. Send Gretzky to me with his daughter. But Wally, he had his son play hockey, not only in the summertime. And in the summertime, everybody plays with tennis balls, street hockey, floor hockey, gym hockey, road hockey, whatever you call it. But he made his son play on the pond, or I should say, not the pond, the Wally Coliseum, the rink that his father made in the backyard, and made him play with tennis balls because it's more difficult to control a tennis ball on ice than it is with, than it is a puck. Zigzag ball. Okay, there's lots of things you could go to. This gentleman in the U.S., Joe Dunoffer, met him years ago. He worked for Peter Burwash. He has a company, On Court, Off Court, and I think pretty much everything under the sun as far as teaching aids is within his catalog. Zigzag ball, where you just toss it. I know people that years ago would take the nap off. They would take the tennis ball, pull the nap off, and then glue a pebble within the ball and say, okay, it's like a crazy bounce. Give me another routine.
The eye coach.
Okay, teaching aids. A cone is similar, but Lenny Schloss, Billie Jean King was so emphatic about keeping her head still. She shifted her head the opposite way. But it's amazing how people sneak a peek. I think of Bill Timm, who was the voice of the USPTA for a long time. He always talked about Bjorn Borg, how he just kept his head still. Roger Federer, similar. But the eye coach is, you know, just for that. A lot of positives. You can YouTube that. Look it up. Like anything, a teaching aid is fairly expensive. It would be less expensive if more people were to buy them. Supply and demand. You know, we covered Bill Jacobson's gift to tennis was CompuTennis, electronic charting. Sold less than 200 units. You know, it's amazing. Go ahead. Another routine.
The two racket shadow swinging where you can see the interrelationship of strokes. Forehand volleys, like a lefty forehand volley is like a righty one-handed backhand volley.
But yeah, to have kids be able to do that, put you're right-handed, so put one racket in your right hand, one racket in your left hand, and then shadow swing the volley. So when you turn for a right-handed forehand volley, it's going to be a left-handed backhand volley. And you know, especially when you do that for a forehand ground stroke, it's like, do you get it, Vic Braden? The ball doesn't know it's being hit by a forehand or backhand. The principles are the same. Principles are the same. Reminds me of Dennis Randall years ago. Trained Dennis. He had a military background, retired from the Army, trained him to teach tennis. And he worked for Nick Baldieri in Beaver Dam. And I have great respect for Nick. Nick's in the Hall of Fame, rightfully so. But Dennis told Nick in a coach's meeting, raised his hand and said, Coach, we're teaching the backhand wrong. Because at one point, Baldieri was high on the forehand and low on the backhand. And people are just like, well, you don't have time. And the next morning, Dennis had to roll dry the football field. What else you got?
The Elvis Presley snap dunk.
So we give a kid a drill. Is there a way he could find it, how to do that drill at home? So we say, okay, number one is a Braden drill. You're facing forward. Go out on the court. You face forward. And people just have to turn. They turn their knees, they turn their hips, they turn their hands or arms. Rotation starts from the ground up. So you actually serve facing forward. And people go, oh, this seems so weird. And they say, well, just take one step back. And it's like, it's exactly the same. Exactly the same. Or we're with a young player who doesn't have the word picture method down, like handcuffs on the serve, turn like a baseball player. What she does is she just lets her hands separate right in the beginning. And then she has, you know, really some major problems on the serve. Of course, at age 10, that's how old this girl is. At age 10, the serve is just a point starter. Elvis Presley, number two. Elvis Presley on a skateboard, snap down. So why do we call it Elvis? Is the great rock and roller. First, I think in this country on the Ed Sullivan Show, it was like, well, we're going to just film him from the waist up. Because all the gyrations, all the movements he made were initially censored. Couldn't be shown to the American public. Things have changed. The different drills go, do you do these routines? And coming back to Jimmy Connors, for example, he had a routine, a sawhorse. Let me quiz the great Malhar Patel. What's a sawhorse?
He would, if I'm not mistaken, he would jump over. It was like a kind of like a plyometric box that he got. He would jump over back and forth.
Yeah, he didn't buy a plyometric box. The sawhorse is 32 inches. The net's 36 inches. It's what carpenters use. So they'll put a big piece of plywood on two sawhorses, and you know it's about the same, about the right height for the average person to be sawing. And Jimmy had one in his garage, and he would just dump over it, over it, and over it. You know, I just think back about, I mean, I was a kid who wanted to be an ice hockey player, and I was told in the offseason, just jog, kid. Just run distances. And, you know, tennis history. Connor's uncle was a boxer, like Agassi's father. You know, why do boxers move their feet? They want to live. Give me another routine.
When you're sitting down, you can change your grip for the backhand. Just push outwards like you're passing a basketball.
Yeah, changing your grip. Vic Brady, if you took 5 minutes for 5 days and sat in a chair and worked on changing your grip. You know, people say, well, there's no time to change your grip on volleys. Well, Vandermeer did that so well. You're so persuasive, so clever, so intelligent. What takes more time, to change your grip or not change your grip? It takes the same amount of time. You have to turn. Now, does that mean that you'll never hit a ball with an off grip? Really clever tennis teachers will say, okay, just go play mini tennis where you just have a continental grip. You have to hit a backhand, or you tape your hand where you're just going to play with an Eastern forehand grip on everything. And that's a way to teach people how to make adjustments. What was the last one again?
Bring me back. Changing your grip while sitting
down. Yeah, so like a chest passing basketball, thanks, senior moment, is you're changing your grip. As you turn, you change your grip and you straighten your arm. When you go from forehand to backhand, forehand volley is bent to bent, backhand volley is straight to straight. And, say someone's going to watch a sporting event. Why can't you shadow swing while you're watching the sporting event? You really should practice before practice and practice after practice. Someone like a Wayne Gretzky, he's always working with his sticks, always like, okay, I've got to. We have some kids, and I, again, don't want to be doom and gloom. They got to put a grip on their racket, and they're asking for their mom because they don't know how to do it. And it's like, that would be like a hockey kid not being able to tape their own stick. Wayne Gretzky, from his book, his father would coach him the entire car ride, whether it was 30 minutes or 3 hours, get in the car. And the mother, Phyllis, she supported the coaching. It's interesting how you could, read and listen and find out about these great athletes. Same page, one parent wasn't canceling the other parent out. And I had a chance to see, I was in Brantford, Ontario with my kids, they were playing hockey, and a chance to see Walter Gretzky just with a group of kids. Everybody loved Wally, but Gretzky took the coaching. He said his father would get upset with him where he had blue smoke coming out of his ears. But that's the hockey culture. The hockey culture, they train, they switch. I've had people ask me during these NHL playoffs, they platoon. So they'd like to have the players out there 35, 40 seconds. They're going 35, 40 miles an hour. It's totally anaerobic. And so there's plenty of time where you come to the bench, you look straight ahead at the play, and the coach is behind you, and they just tell you boom, boom, boom. They don't sugarcoat it. You made a mistake, they tell you what it is. And you just learn to be coached. Go ahead, another routine.
Resistance bands, volleying off that, just pushing forward.
Yeah, kids, when they show up to practice, one, a routine is, do they pack their own bag? A routine is, do they pack their own snacks? I ask kids all the time, who packed the snacks? And I'll ask them every day, and they don't get the point. Every day, who packed that snack? And they show up, and they've got a cooler, and they've got coconut water, and just, are you kidding me? And mom packed it. And it's like, too much. It's just too much. They're not becoming strong. They're not becoming independent. Repeat that again?
With the resistance bands, pushing forward on the volley.
Yeah, so the bands, the skip rope, with, do they show up with running shoes? And you have your running shoes? No. Give me another routine.
Eight to be great.
Eight to be great with, kids get too cool for school. You just toss balls underhand. We do 3 sets of 3. 3 times 3 is 9. 9 balls and switch. Toss underhand. Start service line to service line. We film players, and it's amazing. We say, okay, we're going to film your volleys. They just stand right up close to the net. We say, we're going to film your overheads. They just stand right around the D line. It's what's going to be the easiest way to do it. That's just human nature. So tossing ball underhand. Can you toss underhand? Can you catch? And then to do it with movement. And then another thing, too, is that the kid doing it, say Mallory's trained with us now for 5 years, he's got to be saying to himself, this is great. This is match play. His brain is switched on. To me, there's only one type of pressure, self-inflicted pressure. Self-inflicted pressure. Put pressure on yourself. And that's something that's really happened is, you know, now kids, they draw, they're dropping balls. Like, I mean, you could just, I just stand next to a fairly old coach, not as old as me perhaps. And I say, the kid's going to drop the ball. They're going to drop the ball. Because they've never played catch. If they've never played catch, they can't catch the ball. I know growing up in the 60s, you'd hear it. You'd have the internal scars. The coach would let you know you're dropping the ball. I that's one thing I've mentioned before on this podcast, baseball practice. Because it's dangerous, you get little kids in the outfield, and the gentleman with a fungal bat hitting balls to the outfielders is just one ball at a time, and everybody's watching. Sometimes with 300 balls on a tennis court, kids just get so sloppy. So sloppy. So just tossing underhand and coming in, gliding. We show a film of Sampras. It was put together in the year 2000. The Aussies, we have that. The Aussies have this set of films, videotapes, and it's Sampras just gliding in. Of course, he came in with the elbow raised in that forehand volley, backhand volley. He had the racket square. He wasn't going down with the volley, so his movement forward matched his mechanics. Give me another routine.
The Animal Kingdom.
Fitness. There's all sorts of fitness routines. So getting out of bed, sit-ups and push-ups. The Animal Kingdom. The frog. I like the standstill jump. Walk like a duck. Eric Heiden, John McEnroe's roommate at Stanford, he used to duck walk a mile. I tell people, okay, we're only duck walk 39 feet. We're only going to go from the baseline to the net, because if we go from the baseline to the baseline, somebody's mom's going to send me an email. And that's not good for their knees. Well, ride a bicycle. Ride a bicycle is really good for the quads. Eric Heiden, after he retired from speed skating, he took up cycling and became world class. He also did say, Eric, get off a tangent, Eric Heiden spoke, he introduced McEnroe at the Hall of Fame. And Eric Heiden said, if John McEnroe, you're such a crybaby, if John McEnroe played my sport, he would have quit. It was kind of interesting that he said that. What else you got?
Another drill you could do by yourself is drop hitting the alley.
Drop hitting balls. Be clever. You could go to a garage. If you have to hang up sheets, have some type of way to protect windows and what have you, is how can you find a way to do it at home? If you come home and you just put your rackets in the corner, you need to be a practice animal. You need to be clever and say, I can practice anywhere. You don't ever outgrow basics. Tennis kids, I think of basketball coaches, Division One. I think the number is 300. Okay, practice it over, guys. They have their rules. They make 300 shots and you go. Kobe Bryant was going to make 400 shots before the game started practicing. So he would do it on the stadium floor. And as a visiting team would come in, he'd say, I'm at 350. His work ethic was sick. Just unbelievable how hard he worked. And that's true with all the great ones, all the great ones. So drop hitting a ball, tossing a ball to a partner. Hey, let the ball bounce twice. It's a skill. Can you say it's, Malhar, you get a guy who's a 10 on the UTR. Oh, no, I'm too good for this. No, you're not. And your partner's going to toss you the ball. Maybe it's a backhand volley. Maybe it's a forehand ground stroke. And you're going to put the ball right back in their hands. You just have to do it for a few minutes. That's one thing with routines is that you don't have to do it over and over again. But just to visualize it, say, okay, this is what I'm doing, and realize with respect, have respect for all these routines. Again, one of the reasons to go through this is kids don't do routines. When they come back, we ask them just basic questions. The first day you were here, we did the tiebreaker test. We have the free content. And, you were 0-7, 0-7, meaning that you can't hit six balls in a row. Cross-court ground stroke, cross-court backhand, downline approach shot, hitting to quadrants, four parts of the court, angling a volley off. Then after we do that, we tell people, okay, volley deep. So you have better technique. And if it's just little things that made that drill better, you know, do it over the, you know, Mallory, he should be doing that tiebreaker test over the 10 and under line that's 9 feet from the baseline. Go ahead.
10 minutes of yoga.
Commit. I was told by a yoga master that once somebody becomes proficient at yoga, it's very good for them to do a different 10-minute program every day. And there's so many to choose from on the internet. I remember when the USTA came out with a great training tape on flexibility, and James Blake was the model showing everybody how to go through this routine. And we got lazy, and we stopped doing that. We should go back to that, dig it out, and go, why don't we do this anymore? Because when we have kids stretch on their own, it's awful. It's absolutely awful. They talk. They're just pretenders. Rocky One, are you a pretender or contender? That's what's great about getting tennis players around other athletes. Jim Curry stayed in the Olympic Village. I used to think I was an athlete. We had Gideon Ariel on as a guest. We talked about Evelyn Ashford. I was there. I was a gopher, going for this, going for that. She was the number one sprinter in the world. And she ran 40 yards. And they said, hey, we need to have you do that one more time. And it seemed like it took her an hour to get ready to do it again. Go ahead, another routine.
Just shadow swinging the 48-second drill.
Everybody has 48 seconds. So this is what should happen. Mom, dad, they're taking their kid to tennis practice. The kid is outside. He's doing the routine. He's doing the shadow swing routine. You know, I always go like this and say, what does that mean? It means loser. I've never asked that question in any country. What does this mean? People know what it means. And people aren't doing it. You know, they're on their cell phone, and usually it's the other way around. The mother's going, we got to go, we're going to be late. So the kid's not early. All right, go ahead.
Measuring off distances in your community, your neighborhood, whether it's the 40-yard, 100-mile.
A routine would be to go to the track. So just like I'm saying, okay, the tennis court, I think of that as, okay, these are drills. Once again, drill and routine are the same thing, but my mind is, what routines do you do on your own? And you, Bruce Stern, the actor, you can't BS a stopwatch. And we film kids, and I'm telling you, we record them 7:45, 8 minutes on a mile. You know, a kid's 13, 14 years old. And, you know, they're not going to be able to run with the little old ladies in the neighborhood. So, measure it. When we had, we talked about Jim Verdick, dedicated a podcast to him, had a son on. I remember taking Jim Verdick to Clayton Stanley's house. Clayton Stanley was one of our he was the first guinea pig of this tennis tech program. Spent 10 years in Tyler, Texas. And he lived right by the campus. So took Coach Verdick to his house. He had a backboard. And Coach Verdick said, okay, let's walk it off. How far is it from this tree to this tree? And he was the ultimate coach, where he always had a stopwatch. Anything that can be measured can be improved. And then have it written down. You know, these kids who say they want to play Division I college tennis, D1, I want to play D1. D3 tennis is pretty high level. But you go into these big gyms on a college campus, and they have all the personal bests. You know, who's deadlift, bench press, whatever. The sooner kids can be exposed to that, the better. Here's something else about Gretzky. Again, number 99, talking a little about Gretzky, routines, podcast 99. His parents, grandparents lived on a nearby farm. So every Sunday after church, he goes to the farm. There's film of him riding the tractor, doing chores. It's all online. It's amazing what's online. Immigrant, learning, you know, his father had an aneurysm, and when he came around, the first language he spoke after all the years in Canada was Ukrainian. But he also Polish and Ukrainian, just the work ethic. So you know, if a kid, it's kind of like, yeah, Roger Federer, there's so many things that went right for Roger Federer to be Roger Federer. And I really like the backstory. I like the history. So, you know, we used to do this where we would volunteer. We'd think we were in shape, and we would volunteer at a farm to help bale hay. And then you'd find out that baling hay is a lot different than, you know, lifting weights, especially like when the universal machines first came out. You just put a pin in, and you're just pushing it, slide and glide. Give me another routine.
Routine you could do on your own, 3 serves on the run.
Okay. With all sorts of serve drills. But one is that if you have a really high toss, say, okay, just run forward. Just run forward. And if you toss really high, you have to stop. You know, so getting it out in front, getting it out to the right. Do you do that drill? Do kids practice on their own? You know, so I said Wayne Gretzky, he skated for hours alone. You know, there's a difference between being lonely and being alone. You know, even an extrovert, they have great passion. A lot of extroverts, you send them to the backboard and they get bored. Like, who am I going to talk to? Nobody. Nobody. That's the great thing about the backboard. The backboard, you'll never beat the backboard. Backboard's never late. Backboard's always there. So routines. Go ahead, give me another one.
Oh, the same thing, just underspins on the run, staying sideways.
Forehands on the run, hitting the ball out of the air. Drop hitting a ball. There's an art to everything. When you turn and you drop hit a ball, do it where you don't let the ball bounce. So the ball's on the way down. Okay, then if a kid can hang on to 2 balls, have them hit 2 forehands on the run. Have them jog backwards, drop hitting. Start at the net, jog backwards, drop hitting the ball. Jog backwards, you're going to drop hit, but you're not going to let the ball bounce. And guarantee they're going to start having a shorter swing on the forehand ground stroke. Awareness, acceptance, commitment. But keep telling people, this is the purpose of the drill. Keep telling people, players, participants, what you're doing is you're programming your brain. And I mean, seriously, it's unfortunate that many kids have 5 years of bad tennis. You know, they come to us and it's like, really? You've been serving 5 years with palm up? You've been serving 5 years with that grip? And your swing goes, you know, 5 years of 5 feet behind your back? And it's like, uh-oh. And you got to just meet it head on. It's not easy to change your strokes. Okay, go ahead.
Letting the racket free fall out of your hand and shadow swing.
Okay, so let me just explain the drill, the routine. So you're loosening the shoulder, you let the racket just fall out of your hand. And then you catch it on the way down. It's a Braden drill. And you say, okay, you don't let the racket free fall. Get the racket on edge, the racket slightly closes as it falls, and then you can use gravity. If it goes the other way, the racket face opens up, you have to recruit the muscles. You can't let it free fall. But then you tell someone, here's an exercise, do it. Tip, TIP, total intense practice. Kid's got a Western grip. You know, I think of Kardec, who you spent a lot of time training with. When he was a young kid, he's still your age, and he's become a respectable player. His left hand, he's a two-handed player. His left hand was underneath. And then as a result, with one flaw, there's a counter flaw. And I used to tell him, take the racket with your left hand on the racket and rub it against the wall. Same principle. Some kids got a Western grip. Totally. And it's just not the grip. It's, you know, the wrist position, the elbow position. You know, I think of someone like a Justine Henin or Novak Djokovic. They have an extreme grip. But what's the wrist position? Does the racket get below the ball? What's the contact position? Because kids are so defensive. Oh, I saw Nadal's grip. But take a ball up against the wall and just rub the ball with the wall this way. And then you ask, did you do it? And they go, no. I tease Malhar, you've never got a B, right, Malhar?
No.
No, so that would be a problem if he got a B. He has a C- in this course. Smile, Malhar. He has to change his contact point. So it should be a routine for him to call people up to practice. That doesn't happen anymore. Used to take private lessons in America. That would be it only. Like Malhar's a piano player. One private lesson a week, that's it. And then you go practice. Tennis, we were producing better players with that formula in America than we are now. And his contact point's too high on the forehand side. His grip was too extreme for years. And No, he's going to call someone up. That's a routine. I'm going to play this person and I'm not backing up. I'm going to stay inside the baseline. That comes back to the, you know, tying these podcasts together. And I know that we have some fanatics out there that have listened to all of them, is you put situational training as a routine. But if you're doing it over and over again, okay, we're playing a set where you feed the ball underhand and come in with a backhand approach, then it becomes a routine. The great coaches, their practices are over and over again the same. Granted, there are, you need creativity, but you're not reinventing the wheel. You know, that's one of the problems with internet tennis coaching. People, you know, here's my pitch. I need your credit card by midnight. I mean, you're not going to reinvent physics. Go ahead, Mal, another one.
Oh, you can put a garbage bag around the head of your racket and you can shadow swing.
Explain to the listeners why.
It's going to give you resistance. You're going to have to be loose in the shoulder and you're going to have to swing with racket head speed. You can't be tight when you hit the ball.
There's so many things we can do with teaching aids. Dennis Vandermeer used to take a string, tie it to the kid's racket, and then tie it to the net. And now if you were to tell two kids to do that, it's like, no, well, you just have to do that with a tennis coach. No, be resourceful. So get a practice partner. You toss me balls, I toss you balls. Doesn't matter if whether I have my racket or your racket. Let's just tie one racket to the net. And then if your swing goes back too far, you bring the net with you. And it's like, okay, I'm going to have passion for doing that. You know, you just show someone an exercise. And that's where you think of like a Pete Maravich or a Wayne Gretzky. They did it on their own. Okay? They did it on their own. You know, like the kid taking a baseball, throwing it up on the roof. Give me another routine.
When you can put a penny on your hand and then you can keep your grip on.
With, we worked with a gal who basically went 6 months, made a film. And I told her dad, I said, after the Orange Bowl, okay, let's take a long period of time and rebuild her game. Now, one time she had a back injury. One time she was ranked 2 in the U.S. You know, she played in the ACC. But, I can remember a dime, and a dime smaller than a penny is right here, the base knuckle of the index finger. It was, you could see it was heads. You know, it's the dime was just imprinted right on the base knuckle of her index finger. More routines. Let's go with a few more.
You can do in the driveway workout, shadow swing the 6-ball drill.
Okay, so the tiebreaker test, the 6-ball drill, you can make it the 1-ball drill. Footwork, you know, crossover steps, hit, recover. You've been taught, here's crossover steps for the overhead. If you went to our course, Tennis Intelligence Applied, Dennis Vandermeer, the 7 steps for volley, sidestep, step under, coming out of the blocks. We give credit where credit's due. Vandermeer, what Dennis Vandermeer taught should not be forgotten. It's gold. And then go out. It's okay. These are the 7 steps. And typically, Dennis, we used to pick on PE teachers where, you know, they're teaching 6 subjects, 6 different sports, you know, 6 weeks, 4 weeks of session. And it was just turn step, turn step, turn step. But, you know, sometimes there's no step, but I'm going to repeat that. Happy feet, you know, with a ladder, again, teaching aids, you can do this with a piece of chalk. You can tape a ladder down on the garage floor. I know Ty Tucker, great tennis coach, he doesn't like the little plastic tennis ladders because it comes from football where you're bringing your feet in and out of big truck tires and you got to really lift your legs. But go to YouTube, study how to do footwork drills against one of those ladders and say, okay, I'm doing this. And it may then have, it's like, well, okay, and one schedule is not always the same. They have different days, different amounts of homework and such. But when's the last time you use your ladder? I ask kids that all the time. When's the last time you did this drill? Now, we have people come and see us, you know, once, twice, 3 times a year. Maybe sometimes it's just in the summer. We have a player now, the last few years, I've just seen him in the summers. And there's things that we do while he's here. Very bright guy, all A's, scholar. But He doesn't do the drills unless he's told to do them. You need to be your own boss. I love the line where the kid is the coach and the player and the coach is the compass. A few more.
Going up and down stairs.
You know, I ask kids, I mean, do you do any backward running? You know, that's close to running up a hill, but running up a hill backwards. I can see that said, hey, that's one thing that changed his life. He told Vince Spadia when Spadia was 29 that it really helped Spadia. He said, Agassi said, I didn't have a clue of what was going on in life until I was 29 years old. He did very, very well the latter part of his career. But during the holidays, you know, when he did so well in the Australian, he really got into fitness. So when it comes down to running, you know, here in Florida, we don't have too many hills. But we have stairs. We have football stadiums. You just got to find a place. You know, just, you know, up two, down one, up two, down one. I mean, you really only have to find four or five steps if you have the drive. All right, go ahead.
On the great base backboard, two balls in a row. Two, yeah.
You know, ideally, in someone's garage, it'd be nice for the player to have an eye coach, have mirrors up, cones, the ladder. But to have one of these portable backboards, and then do you use it? But you can actually take that and go, I'm going to go out on the court with a practice partner. And Nick Baltieri used to do that. You know, he would feed a ball to a player's forehand, and before they hit it, he would feed the ball to their backhand. People don't give Nick enough credit. You have to work so hard. You have to work so hard. You want to challenge people. Okay, I'm going to feed the ball. Vic Braden feed. I'm going to feed the ball so fast. You know, that rapid fire where he takes three balls, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, and have a player come in. You know, I think it's a conspiracy. A lot of times it's like, it's really unfortunate that, and I understand there is some reasoning behind it. Well, you can't use more than six tennis balls. You can't go out there with a basket of balls. It shouldn't be that way, though, really. If you took a vote, it should be, no, you could take a basket of balls on the court. Kids taking tennis lessons, you're the parent. It's like, okay, let me go toss balls to my kid. You know, a parent has to be proactive. You have to, I mean, okay, the parent doesn't necessarily have to be the coach, but the parent can be the practice partner. Feeding balls is like tossing breadcrumbs to a pigeon. Couple more.
Getting a practice partner, just doing rounds of 10, 10 switch, 10 switch.
We tell people 100 overheads should be a routine. Okay, I don't have a tournament this weekend. I'm going to get together with so-and-so. We're going to get up at sunrise. And I know some coaches that first thing we're going to do is hit 100 overheads. Go through your warm-up, jog, get your body temperature up, do a proper stretch. And we're just going to start, before practice starts, we start with 100 overheads, 10 and 10. And then can people feed? And then also, too, is the kid coming in and touching the net, crossover steps? Are they really being trained as an athlete? Before you leave the house, you know, we tell people there's four warm-ups. This is the day of a match. You do something before you leave the house. You find a way to practice for 20, 30 minutes. Ideally a court, backboard works, parking lot works. Then there's the third warm-up during the match. And then the first four games. Make all the discoveries. What else you got? You're done.
I'm thinking.
Dr. Patel, C-, bump it up to a C+. Silence on the podcast.
Hop, skip, step.
Great. Comes from Jim Verdick. Hop, skip, step. And he used to do it to music, and people are just shadow swinging a forehand and backhand. Hop, skip, step. Now, if someone's taking a tennis lesson and they found out, hey, I've got a three-part swing on the forehand. My racket face is open on the backhand side. You have to practice. You have to practice. I asked the piano player the other day, do you still practice scales? I know nothing about piano. And the piano teacher say, oh, you got to work on this, these movements, boom, boom, boom. And then the piano teacher will know. It's like the really good math teacher years ago. Go to the front of the class, show how you solve the problem, show the way that you check the problem. Yeah, a lot. Most of the time, I would say that the best teacher is not the most popular teacher. You know, there's a lot to be said about you know, being able to wear different hats and make people laugh and have fun, but you can't do that all the time. You have to be able, as a tennis teacher, tennis coach, you have to be able to set the semantics. Go ahead. I should say set the tone. My fact checker. He's helping me with my English too.
The gym verdict 10-minute warm-up routine.
It's a routine. That's what it's called. Gym verdict 10-minute routine. Go to our course, Tennis Intelligence Applied. Watch it. Watch it be done. And Verdick used to do that. Then his son said that, you know, his father was always changing because he didn't remember when he played for his dad doing that. So he added that. Oscar Wagner, he has a lot of great ideas for tennis teaching. I love how he says, find the ball, which means move your feet. Find the ball, touch the ball. Find the ball, touch the ball. That's the volley. The ground stroke is find the ball, brush the ball. Find the ball, brush the ball. So, but basically, it's 1 minute of hitting cross-court forehands with a volleyer. You know, the one player is just pushing the volley, and the ground stroker is making this little circle, and then you go backhand, and it's just 10 minutes. It's a great way for players coming back who's injured, but it's a great, you know, you want to teach people to play doubles, you want to teach people to play all over the court in singles. Let's go one more. Bryan Brothers, 500 balls. What is it?
The second they get on court, they're going to hit 500 balls. They start at the service line. They go volley to volley. Then they go service line to service line. They're going to hit. Then is it one person at the net, one person at the baseline volley?
You know, for years I've watched them practice, and Mark Bay, who spent a lot of time with them when they were like 15, 16 years old, and I know for years he's gone to the U.S. Open with them. He explained to me what they're doing. They're trying to hit 500 balls as fast as they can. So they're in this within the service box, service line, and they're hitting easy ground strokes. One comes up, hits volleys. He goes back. The other one comes up, hits. And I can have this a little bit wrong, but the other one comes up, hits volleys. Then they're both up hitting volleys. And they're trying to hit 500 balls. Those guys are pumped. Those, like Patrick McAfee, those guys are pumped for breakfast. And it takes that type of energy. I would say this in closing. You have to be excited about doing routines. You have to be excited about hitting off the cone. You have to be excited about shadow swinging in front of the mirror. And if you were to really study pro sports, and I think that's where tennis players are really confused. I like to tell people Michael Jordan's, you know, everybody knows Michael Jordan still this day. Basketball is part of their sport, standing in one place, taking a follow shot. And respecting that shot. And then it's not like someone's trying to invent, okay, I got a new way. You know, I've got it. This is how we do it. Tennis is people are making up. Makes no sense for everybody to put in their 2 cents. The baseball player, they go to the on-deck circle and they shadow swing. You ask tennis players to do it and they look at you like, are you crazy? So routines. 3 secrets of tennis are?
Practice, practice, practice.
Practice makes permanent, perfect practice makes perfect. When you're not practicing somewhere, someplace, someone is, and you play that person, you will lose. You want to work on your strengths, you want to work on your weaknesses. But I really do think, and I've done this with not enough success, but to go to players' homes with their parents and say, okay, show me where it happens. It's like, okay, so if I was to walk into Dr. Patel Malhar's house, okay, where's the cone? Where's the practice log? Where are the mirrors? Oh, do you have an eye coach? I had one tennis parent say, which is true, is tennis parents have $100 bills falling out of their pockets. And if you're going to get teaching aids, you got to use them. You have to use them. You know, so from this podcast, is a kid going to listen to it and go, Mom, Dad, we got to go to a garage sale. I need to get some old rackets. You know, we look at kids, have you gone to a garage sale? You have some old rackets at your house, and you just shake their head. No, when I look at a group of tennis players, juniors, for the most part, that's what we do. We work with goal-oriented juniors, trained coaches. I'd like to say that we've done a little bit of this and a little bit of that for over the years, but it's like I have all these kids that are in high chairs, and I'm just spoon feeding them, giving them all this information, And then what do you do with it? Scotty Perelman visited our program one time, coach at the University of Florida. Smitty, they have information, but now we'll have to see what they do with it. And it's very interesting. Why don't you make a closing comment, Patel? Talk about piano. You have any routines for piano?
Yeah, you have to practice the scales, go up and down, get the fingering right, make sure you're crossing over the right way, crossing under the right way.
Danny Cooper, taught Danny Cooper to teach tennis, play tennis, teach tennis. He was in it, I think, for 15 years, and now he's a lawyer. So Cooper, he plays guitar. I'm not sure how many years he's been playing guitar, but people who follow our Facebook know that we show this clip, and Danny Cooper sent it to us. This is a guitar teacher, and he talks teenage lingo. Now, if you don't do this every day, just warming up, you will suck. You will suck. And you really, if you want to be a great guitar player, one time I was at Julian Krinsky's place, and there was a young guy who was there. Julian just met him and said, hey, you need to come to our camp. And he had him there on staff, you know, just the beginning of, I think, the summer, because that would fit into his schedule. But he was there when I was training the tennis teachers. And remember, he basically learned on his own. And, you know, who's going to be the better guitar player, the kid who takes lessons and doesn't practice, or the kid who practices to the point where his fingers are bleeding? You know, with piano, I know this, I say this often, when people play piano Mahler, they agree that they're going to sit in the chair and face the piano. Although I've seen people, you get on YouTube, you can play piano backwards. They can play piano standing on their head, but they agree they're going to put their fingers like this. They're not going to play like this. But that type of common sense doesn't exist in tennis teaching. Anyway, Wayne Gretzky, 99. We appreciate people hanging in, listening to our podcast. Next time we're at the century mark. We've had 100. Mallard, thanks for helping out. We got a couple of student assistants that are in the room helping out. We hope we're helping tennis out. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Adios, amigos. Mallard, wave goodbye to the camera. Show everybody how talented you are. All right, thanks.